श्रीकांत नारायण गोस्वामी महाराज की जय। निचदेव प्रविष्टों विष्णु पाद स्तोत्र सच्ची श्रीमद शुभ भक्ति प्रगण के शुभ गोस्वामी महाराज की जय। शुभ भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती को स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। महाभगवत शुभ को किशोर दस कवजी महाराज की जय। सच्चिदानंद शुभ भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की जय। वैष्णव सर्वम शुभ जगन्नाथ स्वामी महाराज की जय। रूपनुग गुरुवार की जय। श्री गौरी वेदांत चार्य शुभ बलदेव जगभूषण प्रभु की जय। श्री विश्वनाथ चकबरी ठाकुर की जय। श्री नारदम श्रीनिवास रमानंद प्रभु चाय की जय। श्री कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी प्रभु की जय। प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासुदेव भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपी गो गोवर्धन द्वार स्वनामित श्री ब्रज मनोर धाम की जय। दारस भगवान की जय। श्री श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड तुलसी भक्ति जमुना गंग देवी की जय। जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र सुदर्शन प्रभु की जय। भक्त प्रवर श्री प्रहलाद महाराज की जय। भक्ति विज्ञान विनाशन करि शिन सिंह भगवान की जय। चारुधाम चारु संप्रदाय चारु चारि की जय। अकर मत राज्य चैतन्य मत की जय। और नन सक मत समूह की जय। समागत भक्त वृंद की जय। गोपी नंदी हरि हरि बोल। ओम ज्ञानम चिन्निरन्धस्य ज्ञानंजन सलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायाय तुदाय कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। यं प्राविजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरागाकरवाजुहा पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तरवो विनेद तं सर्वभूतहृदयमुनिमानतोऽस्मि। भक्त्या वैनाय अपराधलक्ष्य चित्तस्य कामादि तरङ्गमार्गे कृपामयि त्वं शरणं प्रपद्यं वृन्दे नमस्ते चरणारविन्दम्। त्वैवास्मि त्वैवास्मि न जीवामि तं विना इति विज्ञाय राधे तं नयनं चरणन्ति के। First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai Astogira Sita Shri Shrimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pai Astogira Sita Shri Shrimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So we're resuming our study of Sri Jiva Dharma, chapter 19, which is about Abhideya Tattva, or the established philosophical truth about the prescribed process which the conditioned soul engages in order to obtain the prayojana, or the ultimate goal of life. Each of these chapters starting from chapter 14, is preceded by the word praman or prameya. So this chapter is called Prameya, Abhideya Tattva. Praman means the body of evidence. That is those Vedic literatures which are coming down and accepted by our Gaudiya Sampradaya is considered the embodiment of evidence. And what is the evidential truth that is found in the embodiments of evidence, that is, those specific Vedic scriptures? That evidence is called prameya. There are 9 prameyas, or established evidence, established reality, outside which there's no reality. And what I'm referring to now is Das Mool, or the 10 teachings which are taught or which have been taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all the fortunate jivas, and outside of which no truth remains. So Das Mool, that means 10 root truths. The first one being, what is the body that contains the evidence? And the following 9 principles are, what is the 9 evidences or truths? So number 1 is the body of evidence. So I'm starting from 2 to 10, and I think that you all know this. Number 2, the Param Tattva, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Gurudev tests the devotees all over the world in his classes in this Das Mool Shiksha, which Srila Gurudev explained that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur took the ocean of all transcendental knowledge and put that ocean in a jar, and that jar is called Das Mool. So we're starting from number 2. Who is that Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Truth? It's Sri Hari, or Vrajendranandan Shyamasundar. Then number 3, he's Sarva Shaktiman. I might test you at the end of this. That means he's the possessor of all potency, all powers. Then number 4, he's Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. Sindhu means the ocean. Rasa means transcendental relationships. Amrita means the nectar of. He's the ocean, the nectar ocean of all transcendental relationships. Akila means the complete whole, nothing outside. No one actually has a relationship with anybody except for Krishna. And through Krishna we have all of our other relationships. Then number 5, Divinamsa Tattva. This is very interesting. There's 2 kinds of souls: the Nitya Mukta Jivas and the Nitya Bhada Jivas, the eternally liberated souls and the eternally conditioned souls. And both those souls are Krishna's eternal, separated, infinitesimal parts and parcels, which is good to remember whenever I think I'm some big shot. Actually, I'm infinitesimal, like an atom. So this is interesting because There's the eternal, eternally liberated jivas who manifest from Baladev in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. There's the eternally liberated jivas who manifest from Baladev's expansion, known as Mool Sankarshan, in Mathura and Dwarka. And they eternally serve Mathuresh or Dwarkadish. The souls that are manifested by Baladev in Goloka Vrindavan eternally serve Brijendranandan Shamsundar. Then there are eternally liberated souls manifested by Mahasankarshan in Vaikuntha. They're eternal, so when it says manifest, it doesn't mean that it happened at any particular time. And then there are two kinds of souls who manifest underneath the Mahatattva through the illuminated glance of Karanadakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu in the causal ocean. They manifest from the Tattvastha Shakti. One kind of soul in the Tattvastha Shakti immediately looks towards the realm, the spiritual realm, and Yoga Maya immediately makes arrangements for that soul to go there. Then the other kind of soul, by his misuse of his independence, looks towards this material world and he's immediately grabbed by Maya and covered by a gross and subtle body and ignorance of his real self. So now we hear that there are two kinds of souls, two vivanamsa tattva, the eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. But we just discussed three. There's the kind that just manifested in the spiritual world. They have no idea what is Maya. They only know blissful service. And then there's two divisions who are manifest in the Tattvastha Shakti, who come out of the divine light of Mahavishnu. One immediately goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and one immediately goes, and one, by looking this way, comes to the material world. So are there two, three? When it says there are two, eternally conditioned and eternally liberated, can anybody say? There's only two. The kind in the Tattvastha region who immediately looks towards Goloka Vrindavan, they are counted amongst the Nitya Mukta, or the eternally liberated souls. They just started from a weaker point, but by their good fortune and proper use of independence, they immediately go there. So really, again, there are two kinds.
Karanadakshaya Vishnu laying in the causal
ocean. Yeah, coming from his light-filled glance or forehead. So that's Vivanamsa Tattva. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur breaks that down into two as numbers 6 and 7. There's the Bhadajivs, for those who are subject to the control of Maya. And then number 7, the Muktajivs, those who are liberated from Maya. And then number 8, the 8th Pramaya, or evidence, is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. That is, all living entities, both conditioned and liberated, as well as this material energy, are all simultaneously one and different from the Lord. Inconceivably one and different. They're non-different because they have no separate in existence. For example, there's only Krishna in existence and his Swarup Shakti, the Absolute Truth and the power of the Absolute Truth. And from that Swarup Shakti, comes the transcendental existence potency of the Lord, that is Sandini, the transcendental knowledge potency of the Lord, Sambit, and the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord, Ladini. All incarnations of the Lord come from this Swarup Shakti. The Jiva, because there's nothing but Swarup Shakti, the Jiva is a partial or incomplete or fragmental part of the chit potency of the Swarup Shakti. And therefore the jiva is called anu-chit. On one hand, he's described in Jiva Dharma as not a manifestation of the chit shakti, and elsewhere as nothing but a manifestation of the chit shakti, because he's an incomplete fragment of it. The tattvastha shakti is, and then the jiva is a manifestation of tattvastha shakti. And maya, this material world, is a shadow of that Swarup Shakti. So when we say Durga, the real Durga is Srimati Radhika, she who is attained by very difficult sadhana. And the Durga of this world admits herself that I've taken but a part of her qualities and a part of her name. So then, now we come to number 9. And the reason that I'm mentioning this Dasmul Shiksha, Dasmul Tattva, in relation to the chapter that we're studying, is because this chapter that we're studying is number 9 of Dasmul. That is, it's called Shuddha Bhakti. Pure devotional service is the only practice or sadhana to attain perfection. This was the question by the uncle of Brajanath, that is Vijay Kumar, who went with Brajanath to Mayapur, to Yogapit, under the order of, as you heard last night, under the order of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Vyas of Chaitanya Lila. And after visiting the Yoga Peak, they both went together to Srivasangam, where Brajanath introduced his uncle, Vijay Kumar, to his spiritual master, Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya. So his first question, the moment he offered his obeisances, wept, was, what is the process that the conditioned souls can take to get out of Maya and achieve the prayojana, or the ultimate goal of life? So this whole chapter is the answer. And that answer is the 9th established truth of Dasmul Shiksha. So every chapter after this chapter 13 is where the Dasmul Shiksha is introduced. And after that, every chapter is one of them. One of them is called Shakti Tattva, because Krishna is Sarva Shaktiman, the embodiment of all power, source of all power, the possessor of all potency. Another chapter is called Achintya Veda Veda, that Prameya. Then there are 3 chapters, 15, 16, 17, which is all about Jiva Tattva. One chapter is about the Nityamukta Jiva, one about the Bada Jiva, one about how the Jiva came here and how he's liberated from the fetters of Maya. And then what is number 10? That's Krishna Priti. Transcendental love and affection for Krishna is the one and only final object of attainment. Either we attain it in this birth by full absorption. I once asked Gurudev, can I attain perfection in this one life? So he said, yes, if you're like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, rolling and weeping on the banks of Radhakund, eating a slice of butter every other day, or a cup of buttermilk every other day, wearing torn cloths, or just, what do you call that garment?
Loincloth.
And having no other ambition but to become the maidservant of Srimati Radhika. So it's the only final object of attainment. Either we attain it in this life, if we're like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, or we contain it in millions of lives. But that is the final object of attainment. Otherwise, if we're not attaining it, we're just going around in the different various species or various planets. Okay, so now we'll go back to our question. The question is by Vijay Kumar, and Vijay Kumar will become more and more prominent. This is his first introduction in Jiva Dharma, but he's going to become more and more prominent. So he's asking, by what means can the ultimate aim of life be achieved? And the answer? Devotional service performed in pure love is the goal, and the spiritual practice of sadhana bhakti is the means. So we'll be finding out what is sadhana bhakti, what is vaidhi bhakti, what is raganuga bhakti, what is the definition of pure bhakti, and what does each word of that definition mean? Because each word opens up to another ocean in and of itself for study. So Raghunath Das Babaji is replying that I can tell you what the answer is by quoting a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami. Anya vilasita sanyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukuyena krishnana sivanam bhakti uttamam. Uttama bhakti, pure devotional service, is the cultivation of activities. Well, what am I saying it? Any of you can say it. Who would like to say it? Anybody like to say it? DJ, did you have your hand up? Sashi? Would you like to give it a try? Loudly? Anybody like to give it a try?
Cultivation of activities.
What?
Cultivation of activities that are solely for the pleasure of Sri Krishna, the word of Gyan and Karma.
What's Gyan and Karma? It comes in an uninterrupted flow, life. And it's completely free from all other desires than the desire to bring happiness to Krishna. There are two aspects of this verse. One is its Swarup Lakshana, that is, its natural symptoms, its intrinsic symptoms, and the second is the tattvastha lakshana. Tattvastha lakshana means the extrinsic symptoms, the external symptoms, or in other words, the understanding of bhakti by the determination of what it is, what is absent in it, what it is devoid of. So the extrinsic symptom, tattvastha lakshana, is anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. It's not mixed with speculative knowledge, as Vijaya Prabhu said. That is called jnana mishra bhakti. It's not mixed with the desire to become one with the Lord. And it's not karma mishra bhakti. It's not mixed with the desire to enjoy the fruits of one's activity. I'm cooking for the deities just the way I like it. Yep, yes sir. That's called karma mishra bhakti. Or it's also called karma pradani bhakti. There's bhakti and karma, but with the predominance of karma. It's also called arop siddha bhakti. The word arop means superimposition. So I like pakoras mixed with half almond oil and half coconut oil. So therefore I offer that to Krishna. So that's half the problem. And the other half is so that he'll be pleased with me and make my life peaceful and successful here. So that those two combination of ideas, please Krishna for myself, which is not really pleasing Krishna, and I really want to enjoy the fruits. So it's not mixed with that. That's arupsita bhakti or karma mishra bhakti or karma pradani bhuta bhakti. Pradhan means like the emphasis. The emphasis is on karma. Like Gurudev said, don't offer the mango. Offer yourself. Like, I'm just going to offer Krishna the mango. If you offer yourself, then automatically everything is offered. Then what is the swarup lakshana? Oh, so karma, jnana, yoga for attainment of some mystic powers. When activities are devoid of that, and they're devoid of any desire other than the desire to please Krishna, why are you doing that? To please Krishna. Why am I going to sleep at night? To please Krishna. Because I want to become strong and healthy so that I could do so many services for my Gurudev. For his pleasure and for his mission. And then if I'm really doing it to please Krishna, then of course I'm actually thinking about Krishna as I'm going to take rest. So what is the swarup lakshana? The intrinsic or inherent internal nature of bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna anusilanam. This is bhakti uttamam, or pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. So Krishna anushilanam means that all the endeavors of my body, mind, and words. Suppose somebody really gets me mad. They do something that I just don't like. And then I'm angry and I want to say something to them to really make them feel bad and get back. So that desire, that meditation, destroys my bhakti. Any activity that's not bhakti acts to destroy bhakti. It's it's not a neutral thing. Isn't that terrible? What a rule. So, one's body, mind, and speech, then I should immediately alter my mind. That how should I think if somebody said something or did something to me, even by accident, I should still get them back. I know they didn't mean it, but still I should get them back, otherwise I can't be satisfied. So then I realize I'm thinking like this. I realize that I'm destroying my bhakti. Bhakti is just walking right away and leaving in the cycle of birth and death. And then I immediately have to change. I should be compassionate. I should well wish that devotee. I should hope they become Krishna conscious. I should try and make them happy in Krishna consciousness. Even sub-Krishna consciousness. This is there in sub-Krishna consciousness. So